Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two at the races. Weekend preview and, of course, with an eye toward a week from today. And the Oaks, which will draw on Monday. Derby draws Tuesday. And there's Derby news in the last 10 minutes from the Daily Racing Form. Dave Grenig, who'll join us in the next hour, reporting that Caracaro came out of his work this morning with an issue. Jay Pridman joining us. Jay, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Is our first, shadow of the Derby tough break, huh?
It's not unusual for when horses get pushed on for those final drills to the Derby to have, one of the 20 to come up with something, and unfortunately this year it turned out to be Caracaro, who missed a lot of time earlier this year. Remember, he was off for 6 months from January until his comeback race at Saratoga prior to the Travers, so he's raced only a handful of times, and unfortunately Dave reporting that he had a what initially appears to be a soft tissue injury coming out of the work today that was to be his final work for the race, and so he's out, which just further solidifies what we've been saying for weeks, that this field's not going to be at 20, and there's another example of why.
Well, and Caracaro, Javier Castellano had been committed, and on the news front, I guess we'll dive, Jay, right into some Derby reporting, and you've been kind of filling out, filling in the blanks with a lot of the, the last elements. I guess this would put... This would put money moves in if they choose to run. Ask Todd Pletcher.
It's highly unlikely, as we've been reporting.
Yeah, we asked Todd the other day, and he was very iffy. I did see where
who?
Todd Pletcher had said the other day.
You cut out. I just didn't hear what you said.
Did see where Darren Rogers on the. On the daily missives has slipped first line back onto the list. Anything from the Orlando Noda camp?
All I can say is good luck.
Yeah, fair enough. So right now, barring anything else, we're looking at 19. Of course, Dale Roman's committing yesterday with attachment rate after taking a little bit of time, and Joe Talamo has been attached to him. What else, Jay, the last few days that people may have missed?
Don't know what they would have missed. What did you miss?
That's the trial balloon. Dr. Post had been, kind of floating out there. There was seemingly some late maneuvering. Paco Lopez back to New York traffic, and Tyler.
He never was off New York traffic.
Well, it was sort of
again. Please read trusted sources of reporting. Urge you to do that. It doesn't look like Pletcher's going to have a runner. He said yesterday that he's leaning against, and it's not often that he would change from leaning against to leaning back unless, something unforeseen happened to one of the, some of the top contenders. I think that's the only way you would see.
Right.
But, barring something like that happening, Dr. Post isn't going to run. Rushy's going to go in the Pat Day Mile, which is what, we've been telling people. I'll be interested in seeing what Castellano does now, because he, if Rushy does go in the Derby, which I'm not expecting that to happen, they needed to see defections from the top of the list to go in, but he's supposed to ride Rushy in the Pat Day Mile, but I don't know what else he's got in the other stakes. I haven't been that tight end. I think he's going down there for some Chad Brown runners. But obviously, the main reason guys were going to go and give up a whole final week of racing at either Del Mar or Saratoga because of the protocols that the jockeys had was to ride in the Derby. So I'll just be interested in seeing what happens now. I do believe he has enough other business that he would still go, but still, it's an interesting development from that standpoint. And I'm sure Dave will be able to fill in some of those blanks when he comes on in about an hour.
Exactly. So if no Dr. Post, no Rushy, Caracaro hurt, so that gets us to 17. Yes?
I think so, yeah. Unless Mr. Noda dives in. So then it's 18.
like in Lake Placid. There's two. Back to one. the final elements, of course, end up being where they're gonna leave from. And now having a firmer feel on a field of less than 20, do we know what they would do in terms of lining the horses up in the new gate? Would they push a little further left with the runners, leaving more room inside?
Generally speaking, whenever they've had less than 20, they've always left the inside stall open and gone, from there. I don't know what they would do, depending on if they get down to 17 or 18, if they would leave two stalls open and one on the outside, or one and two at 17. I don't know what they would do. I would usually wait till they draw the race to ask that question, because then exactly what you're dealing with from the field size. But if you have Darren on in the next day or two, you could ask him.
Well, we've got KK. We got Kevin Kirstein later, and to talk about the works from the last few days, and then we'll be on hand starting on. I guess we'll get there tomorrow, but we'll have a normal morning on Sunday. So, anticipating, looking forward to being there. Jay, let's turn our attention away. We'll talk obviously next week as the field finds its way into post position order. Turn our attention to California, and what a great weekend. I'm going to fold in Sunday's feature as well with Mo Forza's performance in the mile. But that day of racing on Saturday was everything you would hoped it would have been, starting with the maiden performance of Princess Noor.
Yeah, no, it just went from strength to strength. It was a great way to start the day. She was a filly we've written about, we talked about on your show last week, very highly regarded, and she performed as advertised, and very good chance that she's going to come back in 15 days from that race, which is 9 days from today for the Del Mar debutante, and then just rolled right into a real nice afternoon of terrific stakes racing with the two Grade 1 races, the Del Mar Oaks, and of course the Pacific Classic, and a big performance from Maximum Security. So it was a fun afternoon.
Let's hit a couple of those highlights. And the Maximum Security performance, and there were questions about the way the race was attacked from a strategic standpoint in terms of providing pressure for Maximum Security from early on. Gets a relatively easy lead. Sharp Samurai, Mark Glatt had to be thrilled. I think you talked to him, and he seemed just delighted with the performance of his quote-unquote turf horse. What did you make of the complete performance and what it said and where it leaves the top contenders that came out of it?
Well, I thought it showed, at least for Maximum Security, I think it showed that the San Diego really did wake him up. I mean, he kind of struggled to win that race, and he had trained much better, like we were talking last week on the show, coming out of that race, and he had been going in, and it showed in his race. he did get an easy lead, I thought. The pace was pretty comfortable for a horse of that caliber. And I think the tactics that were used by mid-court are questionable. I thought mid-court, had the potential to engage him early, but, they chose not to go right after him. Mid-court is questionable at a mile and a quarter, and I think there's the realistic notion there that they were just concerned that if he tried to engage too early, that it might be detrimental to him. But that's one of those things where, a lot of times when you're dealing with a horse like a Maximum Security or a horse of that ilk, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You can go after them, and it might soften them up, but it might be really detrimental to you too. But if you let them go and you try and hope you can engage them later, it might not work out. Anyway, so it's a tough spot to be in, and there was really nobody else in the race who had the kind of early speed that could have put more pressure on him. Sharp Samurai did run very well, and Glatt was thrilled. He said, I'm as happy as I can be running second in a Grade 1 race. He said, it's just too bad we ran into the best third horse in the world. So it was a terrific performance on his part, and it gives him options on ways to races to campaign him in going forward. He said he's not going to look for the biggest race necessarily, but races where he can win. He's a gelding, and he's obviously now a horse who can act on both turf and dirt. So you just want to find the right spot and knock off some big races with him, but not necessarily have to go up against the heaviest hitters.
Yeah, fair enough. The rest of the stakes sequence, you had Phil D'Amato, who has just I didn't get a chance to talk to Phil this week, and we did have Billy Koch, but what an amazing circumstance. I mean, between Chad winning five straight Dianas and Phil D'Amato winning six of seven Del Mar handicaps, it's a crazy achievement, Jay.
It really is. And four in a row, six of the last seven with Red King winning it this year with that dynamic ride from Rispoli going into the far turn and beat United. So it was, and Originaire ran super. He's a horse that I was saying on your show last week. I just didn't know how effective he was going to be because I just think he needs pace and he's just better at a mile. But he didn't get any pace and he finished like a freight train and really might have deserved a better fate the way the race played out. It was a fast finishing third, so I thought the top three in that race all in their own right ran big races. United is just kind of a one-paced horse, and he just got out quickened at a critical point, and he was gaining at the end, but he just ran out of real estate there. Certainly ran a good race. He just didn't have the kind of turn of foot that you ended up needing the way that race shape unfolded.
The Oaks, and I had Paddy Gallagher on. I was eager to visit with him and just delighted. And, when sometimes, Jay, with the conversations we get to have with horsemen, if there's a spread between visits, let's say, sometimes there has been spreads between visits with Paddy, and then you go back and you look at his record, and it is just consistently strong. And he he's not a big name, but he obviously does a terrific job. I was very happy for him.
He's an excellent trainer. I mean, I've known him for almost as long as I've been around the racetrack, back when he was an assistant to John Sullivan, and then he went to work for Shoemaker, and then took over from Shoemaker, and he's always done a sensational job, particularly with fillies, with grass fillies, you highlighted a lot of his achievements the other day when you had him on, but that was a nice win for him with Red Lark in the Del Mar Oaks. Got a nice ride from Van Dyke and rallied strongly to win the race. And, she's still fairly lightly raced. He kind of tipped his hand, though, that it was the quality that he thought of her when he ran her against Older a couple of starts prior to that.
Yes.
And she's certainly, on the way up.
Well, and some of the other earlier results, sneaking out came through as expected in the Rancho Bernardo on Friday, and it looks like that Harvest Moon has got upside coming out of the Torrey Pines. Sadler and Costa Aronis, Chaos Theory, you've talked about the maiden race. It was a tremendous, tremendous card. I really enjoyed it. And then on Sunday, Jay, every chance we get to laud Barry Abrams, we're gonna do it. The Mo Forza story, that was a fabulous comebacker.
It really was. He ran great. I really like that horse. He's just, you know, he's just really got good last fall and needed time off after the Pegasus turf race at Gulfstream, and he came back terrific. And like you say, you know, it's, you know, with Barry being you know, co-breeder and owner, he's certainly certainly a horse that you can root for from that angle as well. So it was a good feeling kind of win there for Mo Forza. And I mean, he won like a horse who's gonna, you know, as long as he can stay, doesn't have to go to the sidelines for an extended period of time like he did before that race, he could make some noise this fall.
Well, excited for Barry. It's just nice to be able to text. One thing that's just too sad is that I can't. It'd be so much fun to call him and let him, you know, and let him gush about the horse. He was so high on this horse from day one. Barry Abrams. The weekend coming up, Jay, let's get some thoughts. I'm not going to get a chance otherwise to look at the weekend at Del Mar. What lies ahead?
3 days of racing, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then a special Monday makeup card, which is a day that they're using to make up from the second weekend here when we didn't race, when the jocks had all their COVID testing issues going on. So there'll be four straight days of racing starting today, and then the following week 4 days as well, with Labor Day being closing day. And the big race this weekend is the Pat O'Brien on Saturday for older sprinters, with, you know, Flagstaff would be the horse to beat there coming back. He hasn't run since the Triple Bend, but, you know, he's you know, when he's right, he's the best horse of this field, and I would expect him to come back really strong in the race on tomorrow on Saturday.
Anything in that opener? We got the maiden colts. 2-year-old
on Saturday.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, they're, you know, horses who haven't shown a whole lot in their sprints and they're stretching out. There's you know, if you're looking, you know, from a 2-year-old standpoint, if you're, you know, looking for some stuff to follow, the race that's far more compelling is the sixth race tomorrow. You know, the sprint for 2-year-olds. There's some there's some horses there that are debuting, that are, you know, making their second start, so have room for improvement, like Petruccio for Mandela, who ran behind Freedom Fire in his debut. I would expect him to run better. And, you know, Go On is a horse that's been pretty well regarded by the O'Neill team. And then there's a good 2-year-old race for 2-year-old fillies on Sunday. And there's one in there that's run already. It was really highly regarded. Moonlight Doro. She got beat at 3-5 first time out, and the fig really didn't come back all that great. So she's going to need to step it up. But the horse in there that's worth watching is Tracing Fast on the outside. You were talking about D'Amato. It's a Constitution filly who's trained very well down here at Del Mar since she got here. And she drew well getting the outside box, and I think she'll be pretty live on Sunday.
Excellent. Well, Jay, I appreciate it. And we both coasts, Saratoga and Del Mar, the big weekend next weekend to close out the summer seasons. 2-year-olds, obviously, a big focus. Futurity, Debutante, Spinaway, Demoiselle, not the Demoiselle, Spinaway, and the
Hopeful at Saratoga? Is
that the Hopeful and the Spinaway? Yep.
Out here we have the Futurity and the Debutante.
Right, and plus the
there's all the folks of the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, so it's a big week coming up.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too. It's going to be going to be a good weekend. And actually, too, as we go, I don't want to forget the Eatontown tomorrow as well at Monmouth and the Ontario Colleen at Woodbine. Jay, we will check in with you looking ahead to next week. Derby Oaks, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend.
Jay Pridman, everybody, and of course Jay tomorrow, and Thoroughbred LA, and I'm sure a lot of, obviously Del Mar, but plenty of Derby Oaks conversation as well. And you know, since I brought that up, I do want to, I did pull up the, where is it? I have it here somewhere, the Monmouth and Woodbine. I didn't want to, horse players don't live by Del Mar and Saratoga alone, right? It's and there's also, you know, I didn't reach for Mike Welch, and I'm sure Mike is, you know, focused on the clocking at Saratoga, but there is the Gulfstream card as well to keep an eye on with the Florida Sire action, and that sort of is, it's been very quiet. On the Florida front. And in fact, I'm going to give a quick glance at that. Kevin Kirstein's going to join us. But the Susan's Girl came up with a six pack, and the Affirmed, a little bigger, nicer size field anyway. You got nine in there, led by Breeze On By Ralph Nix. Going to be the 6-5 favorite. And in the Philly race, Go Jojo Go, Michael Yates, and Daniel Pete has got Princess Secret. There's also a couple of others, the Sharp Susan, and the Proud Man. You know, the old, this is, you know, a lot of this is the old Calder summer sequence. So slip that in. And I should mention too, you know, I got to give Susan Ditter a push here. You know, we've got the big gelding down in down at Palmetto's with Susan, and he's inching closer. He's a work or two away from starting. Claude Ray, we're kind of excited. We're also excited to get Kevin Kirstein in here. Case, I don't know if you've got, you probably have it somewhere, but actually you might not, because KK has been generally a live and in person visit. So we'll take this, and there you go. That's for. Casey and Kevin Kirstein will join us next. Well, and you know, coming out of Jay's visit and the further details with Kara Cairo, we'll hear from Dave Grenig at the top of hour three. Feel terrible for Gustavo Delgado, because coming out of that Travers effort, Caracaro felt like a horse that, you know, you wanted to seriously consider it in your deep exotic plays for Derby, and he was really excited about, you know, the step forward that Caracaro had taken. So that's a tough one. So right now 17, unless anybody else wants to get involved. Tis the Law Authentic Art Collector, Honor AP, New York Traffic, King Guillermo, 1,000 Words, Max Player, Enforceable, Major Fed, Storm the Court, Attachment Rate, Sol Volante, Finnick the Fierce, Winning Impression, Necker Island, Shirl's Spite. And we saw quite a few of these in the last 4 hours, essentially, 5 hours. And that includes Major Fed's work this morning and Winning Impression before the session started. Kevin Kirstein joins us from the Downs. KK, good morning.
Good morning. I'm wearing a Philadelphia Eagles mask right now.
Oh, you got one? You know, I considered ordering one, and I haven't. Which one did you get?
Well, I don't know. It's green, but it was on my desk when I walked in the office in the back this morning. And so I don't know who dropped it off, but it's pretty awesome.
That's thoughtful. I mean, I love it.
Who would have thought we would say a mask is awesome, but here we are in 2020.
Well, I you know, Tina got Yankee masks, and I'm not a Yankee fan by any stretch, but but the mask is comfortable, and she got like a dozen of them, so it's got filters and it's great. But I you know, everybody says, oh, Yankees, I'm not a fan, but I but the masks are comfortable, I guess. All right, that's
yeah, whatever works.
Exactly. So I almost pulled the trigger. The Eagles are selling like a three pack of different you know, with different Eagle graphics. In the meantime, if anybody else gets hurt on that offensive line, it's not going to be much of a season after yesterday. Another disaster.
It's always something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, I've got 25 years on you of suffering, so don't. Although we're still here, we are 2 years removed, and we're still in the afterglow of the Super Bowl win.
Of course.
Well, and speaking of glowing, is there a little KK on the way? Am I correct?
Yeah, little KK's due on Christmas, and so it's. I don't know if it's really real yet. It kind of hit me a little bit when I went to go see the ultrasound, and it was. We had a lot of stuff, news releases that were hitting that morning at work, and I was sitting in the ultrasound room when Darren was pressing a button on a couple of news releases, and it sort of just made you realize that, yeah, work is very important. I love my job, but this is really what life is all about. So it's pretty exciting, and it still really hasn't hit me all the way, but I'm sure it will probably after Derby.
Hey, well, and so funny that, you know, that Christmas, it would be in such close approximation to Derby, period. But that's part of the storyline. And today and over the last couple of days, you've been a tremendous resource. Before the TV cameras started to record these workouts, you've been on hand, and particularly the King Guillermo work that had people's eyes popping out of their head. Bring us up to speed on a couple of things at once. And of course, Jay just updated us on you know, the last 48 hours or so, and last few days of decision making, with Todd Pletcher seemingly demurring with Dr. Post, and Michael McCarthy now seemingly committed to the Pathé Mile. The Caracaro news this morning. Bring everybody up to speed on the field first of all, Kevin, and then we'll talk about some of the last couple of works the last few days.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of everything is moving and shifting, and it's, you know, you usually have that on a typical Derby year in May, but everything seems to be changing by the minute here for this field in September. And I think it's just because there are so many different races that are around the country right now. And there's also, too, is we sort of have defined favorites in either race of both the Derby and the Oaks, and Tis the Law, and both, you know, you can call it a two-horse affair with Gamine and Swift Skydiver, but you can also have the also with Speech, who certainly appears to be looked apart as well in both of those races. So there's a lot of moving and shifting from owners and trainers of which spot they want to go in. Your field rundown was pretty accurate that you gave before the segment, and the interesting part about that is, so Michael McCarthy worked rushy this morning. He went nice, easy 1-on-1 and 5/8, and so he's seemingly for the Pathé Mile, but they are still talking it over with the owners, and we'll probably make a decision tomorrow or Sunday. Come with Rushy and that. And I still feel like Money Moves is sniffing around a little bit on the outside looking in. Of course, he doesn't have 0 points. He has 0 points along with Spite Shirl, who is currently at the bottom of the leaderboard. Doesn't have any points, but they're still waffling a little bit on what to do with Money Moves. So keeping him into consideration. And there's, you know, could be a couple others that maybe would, you know, want to jump into the picture come maybe after the weekend just to sort of see what things are like. But there is a plane from New York that comes on Sunday and Monday, and then one from California that comes on Monday. So I don't foresee any more moving and shaking in the Derby leaderboard after those planes take off, because then they really will have a tough time getting to Louisville for the Derby by 11 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday before the draw. So with everyone working today and seemingly tomorrow, maybe on Sunday we'll have some additional moving and shaking. But until then, we're rolling with the punches, and I'm sure as soon as we get off the show that I'll get a phone call that someone else is either going in the Derby or is going elsewhere. So that's sort of how things have worked so far this year.
Well, and you mentioned the Money Moves being you know, not necessarily a cross out. First line showed up on your office list the other day. How serious is Orlando Noda about participating?
So here's the timeline of how that works. So I get a phone call that said, hey, Orlando Nota is interested in this horse, using it as an option for the Derby. So I reached out to Orlando, and he said, yeah, we wanted to sort of reach out to the racing officials at Churchill, let them know that this was an option that we're looking at. Don't know anything, plans of what we're going to do with the horse yet or not, but it's just an option that we were thinking of. And that was probably maybe at 10:30 Eastern time yesterday, and then so we added them to the list and added that quote, and then by, I think it was 5:15 p.m. last night, I got a message from Ben Huffman, our vice president of racing, that said Orlando Nota is going to go elsewhere with first line. So he may be one of the shortest-lived horses on the Derby leaderboard.
That's great. So he came and he went. That's fine. All right. Let's also, in advance of talking about some of the works and the horses that have arrived over the last few days at Churchill, let's also do an Oaks review, because there was some horses that came out. Then there was people that noted horses like Hopeful Growth that entered the Charlestown Oaks, but still is coming for Friday, a week from today. So give everybody an Oaks rundown.
Yeah, so of course you have the names at the top with your Swiss Skydivers and the Gamines of the world. And then with Speech, who worked this morning, Project Whiskey worked at Park. She's still on target to run in the Kentucky Oaks. They're going to get here early next week. You're also going to have some of the outside shooters like Anthony Margotta's horse, who you just mentioned, who ended up going entering in the Charlestown Oaks, but is deciding to probably scratch from there and would arrive from New Jersey on Wednesday. She Dares the Devil and Bonnie South, both still on target as of right now for trainer Brad Cox. Bonnie South worked this morning in company with Shared Sense. She Dares the Devil went by herself. So as of right now, they're both still going as well. And then Bayerness, who is on the outside looking in with 0 points. However, there isn't 14 in the race right now, so she's able to run into the Kentucky Oaks. She is trained by Cherie DeVille. Actually, she has eight points, excuse me, but she ran third in the Indiana Oaks last time out, so they're planning on running Bayerness in the Kentucky Oaks. So the full field: Swiss Skydiver, Beach, Bonnie South, She Dares the Devil, Project Whiskey, Donna Veloce, Gamine, Hopeful Growth, Dream Marie, and Bayerness as of right now.
Excellent. All right, now we can dive into some of the works. And even before we talk about the last day or two, we got to talk about your video evidence of King Guillermo's efforts. Because, of course, King Guillermo, one of the, you know, most fascinating and engaging question marks coming into this. I mean, with this extended layoff and how to deal with him. But certainly from a visual standpoint of that, you know, snippet that you, the video that you shot with the phone, people were, I mean, notably impressed, and with good reason.
Yeah, this horse is just such a wild card, because any time that you and I would handicap a race and you see a horse that's going to be on this extended layoff, you're going to be like, okay, well, the horse probably needs a race. But everything that this horse has done in the mornings is maybe making everyone question, well, maybe this horse actually needed the freshening. And you got to think of it, ran second to Nadal with a giant price when, you know, we first burst on the scene down at Tampa Bay Downs, and has just really turned heads in the mornings with his works. He's not the best moving horse galloping, but working, it's a totally different story. And we had that same sort of scenario a couple of years ago when California Chrome just wasn't the best galloper in the world, but he looked just fine moving at top speed. And there's a lot of horses that are like that just in general. But yeah, you know, when he worked 58 and change with Miguel Mena up and was sort of knifing through horses like that when there was a set in front of him that was stopping, and I mean, he's turned heads, and he's a fast horse. And if you, you know, watch some of his works from down in Florida, you see that he's a fast horse. But just the way that he's been thriving here in Kentucky, I think, is just something to take a note of. And, you know, I don't know if he's good enough to beat Tis the Law, as everyone knows of how good that Tis the Law is. But he is definitely one that's going to make people question, you know, a horse like this, including in their tickets, especially one that's probably going to be 20-1. And, you know, we always have the Derby Buzz horse every year, and I think he's stamping himself as the Derby Buzz horse this year.
Well, we've got a unusually top-heavy set of Derby favorites here when we begin the conversation with Tis the Law and Art Collector. And Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver on the Philly front, they were the two physical arrivals on the grounds over the last couple of days that were closely monitored. And Art Collector, with his last serious work this morning, talk a little bit about Brian Hernandez Jr. and Tom Drury, Bruce Lunsford, Art Collector's effort this morning, which was kind of what you would have expected, I think, from a second choice coming into the Derby.
Yeah, you know, you sort of have fairy tale storylines each year, and this is certainly shaping up to be one with the local connections and Bruce Lunsford and Tommy Drury, and of course Tommy's first horse in the Kentucky Derby, and with Brian Hernandez, his good friend, riding the horse and being the second choice in the race. So there's a lot of pressure on these guys, but they're handling things so well, and so is the horse, too. This morning, he breezed 5/8, and it was probably the best work that I've seen him breeze over this track. He's typically based at the Skylight Training Facility, which is located about a half hour from Churchill Downs in Goshen, Kentucky, and Tommy would bring him over. He only has 4 stalls on the backside here, and he would bring him over just to work on Saturdays, usually. And leading into the Bluegrass and the Ellis Park Derby, he really didn't do much, you know, as far as a work pattern goes. It was pretty easy. And then today, that 5/8, really getting to stretch his legs down the lane was really impressing me. He's always worked well and always trained well here at Churchill, but I think this was the best work that I've seen him have here at Churchill. And so everything is leading towards a positive on the Art Collector front. The, you know, physicality of this horse, he's a smaller type of horse, but he's just an athletic moving horse. And so, you know, I don't know how he would do sitting behind horses in races and taking a lot of dirt, because we've seen in the last couple of races where he's sort of sat towards the outside trip or sort of made his own trip towards the outside of horses. But everything goes to show that he really loves this surface here at Churchill.
Well, now, of course, it's a waiting game and, you know, watching to see how the draw goes. And, you know, he, like so many in this field, it has a kind of a tactical look. And I think the biggest story into the draw Tuesday is where he and Tis the Law end up, because it feels like there's a cat and mouse game in the waiting here between the two of them.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, because there are so many of those horses that are in this field that seem to have the same run style. And so how is that going to work out with the early pace scenario? Mm-hmm. Could there be a hot pace up front? We saw what happened with Tis the Law in the Kentucky Jockey Club here at Churchill when he was towards the inside of horses and really just didn't run well at all. I do think he's a different horse than we saw him back in November as a 2-year-old. So I think that it'll be interesting seeing if he would draw into the inside of horses. And you do have to note, with that new 20-horse starting gate, that you still have a whole quarter of a mile to run into that first turn. And plus, with the spacing in that gate, it's not going to have that auxiliary gate that you would have to worry about each year. And plus, when you would draw the rail on the opposite end of that auxiliary gate, you would sort of have to maneuver around the far turn. And so with the new starting gate, which is actually has a bigger slot for each of the horses in there and each of the stalls, I think it'll alleviate a lot of the starting gate woes for many horsemen, but they still don't want to see those horses draw to the inside, of course.
Give us a couple of the thoughts coming out of this morning's activity beyond the favorite, and that included the early effort of Major Fed that I thought was a very noteworthy move, and the decision by Greg Foley to bypass the Bluegrass and take an extra few weeks of R&R and easing him into this race. He looked, I thought, very good. And what was notable to me, Kevin, was the way in which he carries himself. He's kind of an upright horse without like a high carriage. And then when asked, he for about maybe 300 yards through the wire, he then dropped down and extended himself, and then brought his shoulder back up and his head back up. And I liked that effort this morning from Major Fed.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting with Greg Foley yesterday when he was talking to James Graham about how he wanted the work to shape up this morning, and the track was really fast early. And so I think that was to note, and he probably didn't necessarily want James to go 59 on the horse, but just with the way the track was playing for all of the workers this morning, it was to be expected that he went that fast. So he really was looking for James. He started the work at the half-mile pole and was running through the wire, working 5/8 to the 7/8 pole. And so when he got to the wire, he asked James to sort of let him finish well, and he certainly did that. He asked him just a little bit through the wire and really was extending himself out. And James was talking to me about how the horse sort of seemed to carry himself after he ran so poorly in the Matt Wynn here at Churchill and just seemed to lose all of his confidence. And then he was sort of lackluster a little bit in his training going into the Indiana Derby. But then after that Indiana Derby where he ran a really game second after he was sort of pushed sideways on the turn by Florent Giroux and Shared Sense, he really came back to Churchill and relished, I think, the couple of weeks off that Greg Foley gave him and just has not turned a hair ever since then. And we've really, I don't think, seen the best of Major Fed because he's not a slow horse by any means. And he's just had so much of those gate woes in those last four starts. And so if he breaks cleanly from the gate, I could see him being close to that first flight of horses, not necessarily up against the pace. But he would be a mid-pack runner that he's going to make his one run coming, turning for home at the quarter pole. And he wants everything to do with going that mile and a quarter distance.
I'm trying to figure out which of the outsiders to feather in, and part of it is the appeal of rooting for horses from Greg and sister Vicky Foley, because they're terrific horsemen and there's so many stories coming into this that fit that scenario. You know, people that you really want to see do well on this stage. There's certainly a couple of horsemen that are after their first derbies. They're going to come into it as outsiders, and the work. I guess it would have been Thursday, and we're waiting for attachment rate as well for his next. And now that Dale has committed, talk a little bit about Max Player, Steve Asmussen, who's still getting to know him, obviously, since the late move to his barn. And then we expect to see attachment rate with any of his last serious work toward next Saturday.
Yeah, you sort of brought up the interesting point about this Derby of so many of those outsiders are trying to include in your tickets, because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, on the front end, as we mentioned, a lot of horses that want to be up into the race, but then there's a lot of horses that could make that one run from far back as horses are sort of backing up at the half mile or the 3/8 pole. And, you know, Max Player has really impressed me in the morning, and, you know, I think you said it perfectly of Steve trying to get to know this colt. You know, he's only been in his barn for 2 weeks, and you know, the way we know that Steve works his horses, his most serious work was the 59 and change that was last week, and then he'll probably breeze an easy 52 half on Monday, as Steve typically does with his horses. And so, you know, he's a horse that we've seen what he was like in the Travers and is probably going to be okay with gaining that distance of ground as some of the horses in front of him may be backing up. Another, you know, you mentioned attachment rate too, who was sort of on the fence for the Derby between this and the Pat Day Mile, and, you know, Dale Romans is not going to miss a dance unless he has to, and Dale was fighting hard to run in the Derby, and he said, you know, 2020, anything can happen in 2020, and he's true with attachment rate. He's expected to have his final work on Sunday here at Churchill. I'm looking up in the sky right now, and that's why it was so busy this morning, is because there is some rain falling in the area, and so with the forecast likely from Hurricane Laura to hit us here at Churchill Downs. It probably won't be as bad here at Churchill as it would be in some of the southern Kentucky regions, but expecting a sloppy track for training tomorrow, so a lot of people are looking at Sunday for those final moves, attachment rate being one of them. And then King Guillermo is sort of 50-50. He'll work tomorrow if the track is in okay shape. If not, he'll work on Sunday.
Excellent. One of the fun stories to me, You know, you because you and I, you know, we'll go back and forth with the things on tweeting and or texting too. And huge Miguel Mena fan. Necker Island was slow to start this morning, but he not only did he finish well, he did something that when you're at Derby for, you know, the couple of weeks and traditional lead up, you're watching for those horses that don't pull up until the track kitchen. And Necker Island, I thought the best part of his work was way after the wire. I thought the way he finished and then onto the backstretch was the best part of the work.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, he worked in company and started about five lengths behind his workmate Kurilov for trainer Chris Hartman, and he was sort of a little bit difficult to get going, and I asked Chris about that, and he said, no, the horse is just plain old spoiled. He is so laid back around the barn and around the track, and he's just a spoiled horse, and so he sort of does his own way. It wasn't anything of a refusal or something like that. He was just, you know, being a spoiled horse and saying, okay, I'm going to be playful and then go with you right now. And so it was interesting when I was upstairs with Clocker John, and so I was up there getting all the splits from him, and then the track opened shortly after, you know, his gallop out was going over. So a bunch of horses were getting to go on the track for working right at 7:40 after the work, and John Robertson actually clicked his watch at the half-mile pole, and he said, I got the half. And John and I both laughed, and we're like, no, John, that's the gallop out for Necker Island. So I think this horse's plans is getting Miguel Mena on board. I think Chris is going to send this horse to dead last and make one run up the rail. As we know, Miggy Mena loves to go up that fence here at Churchill Downs, and so I think he's going to try and get the Calvin Burrell mind that bird trip and pick up some big pieces at the very end. But, you know, if that pace meltdown happens like we talked about a few minutes ago, I think he's going to be one that will try and pick up pieces. I don't know if he can get up into the top four for a super or the top five for the super high five, but he can definitely be one that will be gaining ground late.
Well, and the one thing you don't have to worry about with Mena is the finish, because he will pump on that horse like there's no tomorrow. And I'm excited for Miguel, and I know it came at the expense of Mitch Merle, and we hope Mitch gets his chance down the road. You know, and you mentioned the rail, and of course Corey Lannery, another guy famous for it, and Cheryl Spite, I assume, is showing up Monday from Woodbine.
Yeah, it sounds like that'll be the plan. He'll be on the van down from Woodbine for Roger Atfield, and he's going to be one with Lannery that with that, you know, unlike work pattern that he's had at Woodbine on that training surface up there. We saw the last work working a mile behind those horses and sort of pattern work that Roger had this horse work, and so it's pretty exciting seeing this horse. And, you know, any other Derby, this horse would not be getting into the field, but it's 2020, and he's in with no points, and he's certainly been extremely impressive in his first two starts, and we know Charles Sipke is not afraid to dance in the big dances, so it's very exciting to see a horse like this, and he'll probably take some money too. I don't know, ending up, what sort of choice he would be in the race, but I bet it's going to be a little bit of a headache for Mike Battaglia to make a morning line on this horse, because he carries so much of that buzz from Canada of how impressive he was in those first two starts. So I don't know how much money he would actually take, but I feel like it would be a fairly significant amount.
We'll check in on the New York-based, like New York Traffic. We'll talk to Dave Grenig in just a few minutes. I want to mention one horse who was completely, I can't believe I'm going to say this, out of sight, out of mind. Ray Hernandez is over at the Spectrum, and or actually at the Thoroughbred Training Center, I should say. And, you know, nobody's really had a word to say about Finnick the Fierce, who seems to be working right along since the Bluegrass.
Yeah, he's popped a 59 and change drill over there the other day, and he's expected to be here at Churchill Downs on Monday. And, you know, I was surprised not to see him in the Ellis Park Derby, and I thought for sure that's where they were going to go in that race. And then all of a sudden, you know, he ended up going to give him the time off into the Kentucky Derby, and he ended up making the field too. And so he's another one of those fresh horses that he could, you know, make noise. It'll be interesting to see. I'll be looking forward to seeing him gallop a couple of days over the track to see how he looks here. I've seen him a couple of times locally in Kentucky just because of where he ran, and so I've seen him there, but I've never really seen the horse train, so it'll be interesting to see him in the next couple of days. But expected to van over from Lexington on Monday, and he's based in Angel Montano's Barn 8 on the Churchill Downs backside.
Excellent. And then, of course, the California horses will get through with some of the West Coast connections, like a Gary Young, and we'll talk about Authentic and Thousand Words and Storm the Court, etc. Gamine as well. Speaking of the West Coast and Gamine, let's hit a couple of highlights, Kevin, before we wrap up. Let's run down what you thought of this morning's activity. That included, well, included Swiss Skydiver galloping. She's supposed to work tomorrow, and then I saw Bonnie South work this morning. There was also Dallas, who had had Winning Impression. I guess we didn't really include Winning Impression. Winning Impression and the Philly, too, that worked today.
Yeah, it was pretty busy with Tempers Rising, as
Tempers
mentioning
Rising.
With the Philly, who is, I mean, Dallas, I think, wants to run. I think they're very on the fence about running in the Kentucky Oaks, but you know, she came out during the Derby training time, the Derby and Oaks training time, and put in a solid drill. And, you know, most of the stuff that we saw this morning from those aforementioned horses were just sort of a maintenance move. They really did all of their serious work previously. And with horses like Winning Impression, who is pretty much already fit from having just run a few weeks ago, a lot of the trainers didn't really do much with them. She Dares the Devil had a huge work last week here at Churchill, and I think this is the best I've ever seen her train. Is she good enough to be up there with the Gamines and Swiss Skydivers and Speeches of the World? I don't know, but you know, to me, she couldn't be doing any better. Everyone else was just sort of looked like a maintenance drill to me, and trainers trying to keep them fit, happy, and healthy, and getting ready to go for next weekend. It's hard to believe that Derby week is almost here.
And speaking of the rest of Derby Oaks weekend, this week's notes. I sent out the link to my website with the prospective fields as they're starting to shape up, and each day Ben Huffman updating the rest of the action for, you know, starting on, I guess, what, our first stake is on Wednesday?
We actually have one on Tuesday. We got one Tuesday, one Wednesday, two Thursday, 17 stakes overall, covering the five-day Derby week next week, and of course headed by the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, but 17 stakes, 14 of them are graded stakes.
Well, and the Pat Day Mile will continue to morph, but well, it looks like Liam's Pride's running here tomorrow, so I think you can take him out. You can take out Attachment Rate, but maybe put in Rushy, we'll see, and got you know, those kinds of maneuvering still to follow, and the Distaff Turf Mile, Newspaper of Record, and Beau Recall, and Daddy is a Legend, and more. The Old Foster for the Turf Classic. That field looks like it's coming up well, and certainly going to. Speaking of good stories, Jimmy Baker, a spectacular gem. Hard not to. He's Buff Bradley, Jimmy is in this version of the Turf Classic.
He's great.
Yeah,
I mean, Jimmy's sitting next to me with a cigar the other morning and just looked at me and he said, "Can't believe we're running in $1 million race." And I said, "Jimmy, I'm so excited for you; it's unbelievable."
Well,
and the horse is doing great too.
Well, and Jimmy Baker. Jimmy Baker can win races like this. He won himself a Whitney, for those that don't have a long, long memory. Well, KK, a lot to do, obviously, next week, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning, or actually probably see you tomorrow afternoon after a swing over to Suburban. It's going to be a little different, and it's not going to be the usual fish fry spread, but maybe me, you, and Darren and Gary, I guess, right? How many people are going to be around tomorrow?
Yeah, that sounds like the people that'll be around, but we're looking forward to seeing them. We got to stop over at Philly's Best Frozen Desserts over on Bardstown Road to get us a gelati or water ice.
I love it. You told me about it the other day. I was intrigued. Well, Dairy Castle, can't leave out a Dairy Castle visit. Cottage Inn and all of our favorites. We'll be at Frank's for lunch and more. KK, I appreciate it. Kevin Kirstein, everybody. And have you qualified? Have you been playing contests to get to Vegas?
I sort of stopped right after I found out that I'm going to have a kid, and so I think my wife would kill me if I ended up going to Vegas in February, but if it's going to be virtual, you know, maybe I could try again. But I sort of stopped because I'm like, I was sort of rolling too. I'm like, I gambled the most I ever had during the pandemic, and all of a sudden I'm buying all this sports material, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and I found out that I'm having a kid, and so I had to put everything to the side. So maybe I'll, if CNHG turns into something virtual, I'll get back into it.
All right, we gotta publicize your contest ability. Kevin Kirstein, everybody, and we'll talk to KK live from Churchill next week and get more thoughts. Horse Racing KK, make sure you're following Kevin as well as Derby Media. We'll take the top of the hour break here. Dave Grenig is going to join us next, and then visits with Nick Tamaro and Hammer in hour three at the Races Weekend Preview. We'll go over to wherever Dave is, somewhere on the backstretch at Saratoga. The news, unfortunately, this morning of Caracaro with a what appears to be potentially, I think, did he say suspensory? Something soft tissue related. We'll get more details and catch up on the penultimate weekend of racing here in upstate New York in the foothills of the Adirondacks. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I want to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey.
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Dolly America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers, My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.